Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So I had a conversation with another deacon this morning in my office. He stopped in and we chatted for a moment, and he said, "So what are you going to preach on this morning?" Because he serves in another area of church, so he's not always in the service. And he said, "What are you going to preach this morning?" So I had to quickly make something up. I didn't know what. No. I said, "We're going to talk a little bit about our appreciation and love for grace and our desire for mercy." I said, "But also going to talk about this other component that we sometimes lose a little bit of sight with it because we love grace so much and we know we need mercy so much." And it's true. I mean, there's so many verses, scripture verses, that are written about that we're saved by grace, okay? God's favor on us. We don't earn heaven. I want you to hear that. We don't earn heaven. We're not good enough. We fall short of God's glory, okay? And if you're like, "No, I don't," ask a couple people who know you best. I'm sure they can point something out where we fall short. And, you know, where we break the law in one place, we're a lawbreaker in the whole thing. That's just the way it is. And so, you know, we all fall short of God's glory, but there's this marvelous attribute of God that He gives us grace. He gives us His favor anyhow. He knows our past. He knows the stuff we struggle with. And He extends a grace to us. And it's through faith in Him that that grace gets applied to our life. There has to be an acknowledgement of, "You are a God of grace and mercy, and You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, and I believe upon Him as my Savior." And that grace now isn't just dispensed to us, it's applied to us. It's an application that it has its work in us. So we're saved by this grace through faith, not that we have a work of ourself that we can attain heaven. We're sinful. We have sinned. And Jesus, who was sinless, you know these foundations of Scripture. Jesus, being sinless, went to a cross, paid for my sin. He was innocent. I'm guilty. He imputeth unto me. He makes this trade, this change, so to speak, where He takes my sin upon Him. He goes and pays for it, and He gives to me His righteousness. That is what He has done for you. And the moment that we believe upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we show faith in Him. The application of that marvelous truth is now applied to our life. And He shows us a mercy, and we, you know, we need mercy. Grace is this favor. Mercy is kind of summed up like this. He withholds giving you what you really deserve. I need mercy because, you know, we know what we deserve. We broke the law somewhere, and judgment is serious. But He shows grace and mercy. And so we love this marvelous truth of the gospel of grace and mercy. But I want you to hear this. We don't get to heaven being sinful, having grace, and then just continuing in sin. And so there's this piece that we sometimes overlook in this grace and mercy dispensation and realization of what God has done for us. And we lose sight of this. We lose sight of the law. The law will never get us to heaven because the law brings death. It's grace and mercy from God that brings life to us who fall short of the law. Listen, I grew up with rules. Anybody grow up with rules? I didn't like all the rules. I loved my parents, but I didn't like all the rules all the time. And I'm kind of a rules guy in the sense that I pay attention to rules. Little ones that maybe nobody notices are different. And I'm not telling you that I'm not a lawbreaker or that I'm perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But there's little things that, you know, I just have a conviction about. Laws. Like, you know, we kind of have a rule here. Now, if you didn't know this, it's okay. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody because I came across you doing it this morning. That's not it at all. But, you know, for example, I will have a cup of coffee in my hand and the doors will be open and I'll see, I don't know, Josh Abbott up in the booth and I want to talk to him. And so I keep my coffee outside the door and I lean in and I talk to him. Now, this isn't just on a Sunday because you're watching. I've done this during the week when he stops in here because he's doing stuff around here all the time. He's such a help. And I just, you know, in fact, maybe it was a few weeks ago or something, he watched me and he just kind of, you know, I was like, hey, man, I can't do it. Like, knowingly, I can't do it, you know, because we just want water in here, not coffee. Now, if you have coffee with you this morning, just enjoy it and don't panic. And try not to spill. But anyhow, so, you know, it's just those kind of little things. Now, that law, rule, God did not give us. It's a man-made law. And, you know, you can say, man-made law, who cares? Who cares? But those things matter. And they matter to different degrees, you know. To you have your things in your life that you feel are rules and not. And, you know, growing up, you hear and see rules and think, you know, that rule doesn't make sense to me. And then you become a parent. Right? All of a sudden the rule is, you know, and you come up with some of your own. So in this dispensation of grace and mercy, we sometimes think, who cares about the law? I live under grace. I live under mercy. Well, I want you to know, with that grace and mercy, there is a responsibility to build off of that grace and mercy in our life and to do what's right. A lot of scriptures talk about this grace and mercy and the law and what brings death and the spirit of life. And, you know, we should not continue breaking laws even though we live under grace and mercy. And so grace and mercy are given to, you know, bring salvation to us and save us. But that grace and mercy are ingredients into our life that are supposed to now bring transformation. We've been given this favor to forgive our past, a grace and mercy now to build off of responsibly in a life of obedience to God. Obeying laws, because we have already sinned, is not what's going to save us. But those who know Christ, we're to become like Him. And so in this grace and mercy that we so desperately need and love and want, there's this responsibility. Here's an example of responsibility of grace and mercy. If you have been shown, and you have been, grace and mercy from God, then the requirement, the responsibility from this grace and mercy now, is that you and I have to now required, mandated to us, a law that if we enjoy this grace and mercy from God, we now in turn are supposed to show the same grace and mercy to other people. But they hurt me. They did me wrong. They offended me. They just plain annoy me. Okay, whatever it is. And we all have that, right? But there's a requirement I've been shown this grace and mercy that I love and appreciate and enjoy, but with it comes this law, this requirement, that this grace and mercy that I value, that changes me now, transforms me, that I in turn have to let that grace and mercy that's been given to me flow out of me towards other people. Ooh. I just want to go back to enjoying the grace and mercy and forget the law. Forget the responsibility on this grace and mercy. You know, Matthew 7:12. I'm going to read some selected verses here. So Jesus speaking, he says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now let me just explain real simple. When he says this is the law and the prophets, it simply means this. This is what the Old Testament is about. It's basically the Old Testament. That's the law and the prophets. It's the Old Testament. He's speaking to a multiplicity of people, but to predominantly Jewish people, lost sheep of Israel. And he's saying, listen, this is the law and the prophets. That which you has been given to you, you now have to give to others. So he's taking this New Testament explanation of a principle of that which you wish for others, how they should treat you. You have the responsibility to now treat them. That sums up the law and the prophets. See, so the Old Testament law is really this. Other than the man-made laws and things that they sometimes put in place, though some of them are good and God directed them to do that and gave them revelation of this. But it's basically this. The Old Testament are laws to the people of how to live life together. That's really important to God, is how you live in relationship with people. I mean, after all, isn't that kind of where most of the tests show up of who we really are and what we think and what is within us? I mean, if you really love people and care for people and respect people, regardless of how they live and what they say and what they've done or not done, if you have this outlook, you don't ever have to worry about stealing. Stealing fractures relationship, not only with God, but with people. And you can go through the laws like this, and basically the laws tell you how to live right before God and what he requires and what he commands so that we can live together. That's the Old Testament. That's the law and the prophets, is how you live together. How husbands are supposed to treat wives. How wives are supposed to treat husbands. How you treat your children. How you treat your neighbor. How you make restitution with people. How you reconcile things with people. You see, all of these laws of what Jesus refers to is Old Testament, Law and the Prophets, it's about learning to live right with people. In New Testament, Jesus puts it this way. You have been given grace. Now, that measure of grace that's been given to you is the same measure of grace you're supposed to pour out to who? To people, because it's going to help you live right, and it's going to be a good life. It doesn't mean it's without problems or without challenges, and in doing so, God recognizes that. He recognizes you as one of his own. You want to be recognized by him. Say it, I want to be recognized by God. When that day comes for us, you want to be recognized. You want God to know who you are. And he says, in a layman's terms, come on in. You know, when a stranger knocks at my door, and I have invited strangers into my house, but they knock on the door, I usually tend to talk to them at the door or outside. But if I know you, it might be a brief conversation outside because you're dropping something off and you're leaving. But other than that, it's, well, come on in. I recognize you. That which you wish others to do for you, we have a responsibility to do for them. That is summing up the laws of the Old Testament. And it sums up the New Testament. Your worship to God is how you treat people. And that is the expression of your faith because it transforms you, because your natural tendency probably is not to obey and take time for everybody or treat everybody right. Or I want my own. That might be the tendency. And so we look at this grace and mercy that we love and need, but there's a rule that goes with it. I know you've heard it for generations, and they can phrase it differently. Oh, the reason I don't go to church is because of all the rules. That's a great excuse. That's just an excuse. Because the reality is they have other rules in their life. And the ones that we find easy to obey, we adhere to, and the ones we find it difficult, we somehow discredit. I don't need people telling me what to do. I got news for you. Yes, you do. And I need people telling me. Listen, we need reminders. We need people to direct us and tell us what to do. Can you imagine be hiring for a job and then show up and not be told what to do? I'll tell you this. I don't want to own that company. They're never going to get anything done. And that company won't last long. And you won't work there long because they won't make money to pay you. And you will not work there for free not knowing what to do. I'm not going to say that again. You can watch it on the replay this week. Yeah. Jesus said it, Matthew 10, verse 8. He said, the grace we enjoy and the mercy we need, we're required to give to others. An important principle. So I want you to know that in this grace and mercy, we are saved by it. But when we're saved by it, we're supposed to now live to what the law has stated. And we're still going to fall short. We need that grace and mercy to cover us and help us. Okay? But there's a responsibility with grace and mercy that we sometimes forget. And we just want to live under grace and mercy. We have a responsibility. Jesus, he himself, it's interesting. Matthew 5, verse 17, he says this, and he says this in a couple of different places, but I'm going to highlight this one. He said, do not think that I have come to abolish the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. He didn't come to abolish it. He didn't come to knock it out. He said, I've not come to abolish it, but rather to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law, to be without sin, and honor the Father, and do his will, and treat people good. You say this with me? I need to treat people better. That was quiet, and that was about 68% of you. I'm ballparking. Say it. I need to treat people better. It's part of your worship, and it's part of the responsible expression of your faith that this grace and mercy that God gave to you is now has a transforming power, not just over your past, but who you are, to change and continue to live according to this law. New Testament, you think he did away with all the rules and all the laws. He came to fulfill them. Paul writes about it under the inspiration of the Spirit, about this grace and mercy and works, and that works will never save us. It's grace and mercy and faith in God that does. But because of that grace and mercy and faith in God, the expression of our faith is the work is a transformed life, a life of fruitfulness to be recognized as one who belongs to God, and that God recognizes that we belong to him. You see, he recognizes his son. And if his son, we believe in, have faith, actually transforms, and he lives in us, and we start, you know, transforming and acting and looking like Jesus in the way we live, God recognizes his son in you. In this verse that I'm going to read to you, it's in Matthew 7, and I'm going to go down here to, we'll go to verse 1 of 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, right? We know he's received. Now, if he lives in us, we put faith in him. He lives in us, we transform and we start to look like him and act like him and talk like him and all of that. We genuinely have this transformation. God recognizes his Son in us and that we will do God's will. And the will, his will has to do with commandments, direction, powerful suggestions, and the law. Watch this. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works and miracles in your name? See, when there's this point that they come and he's saying, I don't recognize you, and they go, we did all the stuff. Listen, doing all the stuff is not the same as becoming Jesus, being like him. You can do the works. You can be involved. God can even use you to do some marvelous miracles because he uses broken people and fractured vessels and, you know, all of that. And they said, hey, we did this stuff. And then Jesus, his Father, he says to them, as they declare this, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, watch this, you workers of lawlessness. You see, the law in the New Testament still has significance. The grace and mercy is to empower us and give us a launching pad for a fresh start in becoming someone new, someone like Christ. The transformation inside. This isn't just, I got forgiven by the grace and mercy over my past, and, you know, if we die in that moment, you're saved and gone, but as life goes on, and you just think there's grace and mercy over your past, but you don't transform, then your faith is uselessness. Because grace and mercy, you did not allow to have its full work for us to have responsibility on this grace and mercy to build a life where Jesus transforms us, we become like him, and the Father recognizes his Son in us, and he says, come on in. Lawlessness, you know what that is, right? No laws. No rules. Hey, let's simplify this for a moment. And life is not a game, even though there is a game called life. It's a board with little cars and little peg people, and you spin a wheel and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know. But can you imagine playing a game and there's no rules? How do you know who wins? Because aren't games the point of somebody winning and losing? I'm sorry, we live in a day where everybody wins and thank you for participating. Sorry, there's winners and there's losers. And the winners don't always win, and sometimes the losers turn around, they become winners, and you know. So thank you for participating. If you don't like it, don't play games, don't compete, or just go play by yourself. We play golf together. There's a few of us that play golf. We have our own little tournament. Of the last tournament, stand up. He won. He was the champion of our little tournament in May of 2023. We all pitch in. He gets a trophy. Every tournament, the person who wins, they get a trophy. or some kind of glass with etching that says the date and the name of the this trophy he's getting is 30 inches tall. We all kicked in about $14, okay? It's 30 inches tall. And he's going to take it home. And he's going to add it to his other trophies. And sit them on a shelf. Is he building new shelves? Because he's won a few tournaments when we've gotten together. Oh, sit down now, I'm sick of you. Yeah, he's one of those. He gets plaques. Another guy over here, he's got plenty of them. There's another guy who lives out of state up north. I'm not going to even mention his name. He's probably watching. Ugh. No, I kid. Yeah, we have to play by rules. Rules. You hit the ball out of bounds, it's a two-stroke penalty, or it's one stroke in distance. I'm not going to explain all that to you. If you don't play golf, forget about it. Don't worry about it. But there's rules. If there were no rules, I would say, hey, what did you shoot? And he would lie. Say I shot a 70, which is like 2 under par at most places. And I'd ask the other guy if there were no rules. He'd say, whoa. Shot a 70. I shot a 69. The guy who lives up north out of state, you ask him, he'd say something like, well, I actually shot, you know, I shot a 36 on all 18. He's from Minnesota. He doesn't tell the truth. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Jeff, I'm just having fun with you. That's his first name. You know, no rules. What's the point? Right? There's rules. Well, listen, when we receive grace and mercy that covers our past and can bring us into a marvelous eternity, between here and that eternity, that grace and mercy calls us to responsibility, to live different, to look like a person of that faith. And as we live, the signs of our life, we call it fruit, prove what we believe. The proof. James talks about it. James chapter 2, it is filled with faith without works or the fruit of transformation. Your faith is useless. You can proclaim it all you want, but if you are not transformed and changing and moving on, and yeah, you stumble and fall, and you pick up, and you live different, and you move on, and you're getting better, and you're looking more like Jesus, and you're following him, and there's that expression of that kind of faith that leads us to change. That faith is useful. That faith expresses Christ. It is not, I once said the prayer, covered in grace and mercy, and I can just live how I want, or I can keep going to church and be pretty good, but I don't change. There's no works of fruitful righteousness changing us. God's word tells us that is useless faith. You and I need to keep growing and transforming. We need to keep looking like him so that on that day we don't hear, I don't recognize you. Hey, but I did all the stuff. Hey, I gave all the money. Hey, I did this, I did that. And he says, I just don't recognize my son in you. I don't know you. You and I better pay attention to the responsibility of how to live based off of this grace and mercy. The faith, you know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, we are saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God. It's not a work of ourself. Okay? It's a gift. The grace and mercy is a gift from God. We don't earn it. He gives it to us. But it says this, that grace that we're saved by is through faith. Now, faith is not saying I believe alone. That's part of it, is a declaration of faith. But the other declaration is that we change and transform as a person. That shows what we really believe. Yet, listen, you don't have to be very old to experience this with people, with friends. They say one thing, but they do another. We don't like that. If we don't like that in others, we shouldn't like it in ourselves. We are called to be, ready? Hear this, scripture. We are to be holy as He is holy. See, we forget verses like that sometimes because this grace and mercy that is a marvelous gift to us. Don't misuse the gift. We're to build off of that gift, that responsibility of our Christian life, not to be lawless. Jesus came to fulfill the law of the prophets, the Old Testament. He didn't come to abolish it. He brought a new testament, and He brought a new covenant in His blood. Okay? But it's still salvation by faith, and the faith that we declare should show up in how we live. Now, the outward actions, this is a deceitful thing about actions, is outward actions don't guarantee that there's been inward change. We can all do some outward actions to make it look right. But deep down in here, God looks upon the heart, right? He knows what good actions come out of us. He looks beneath it, and He can tell where it comes from. Is it to look good to other people? Or is it a genuine transformation of the person because of a grace and mercy? Your worship from this grace and mercy is not just coming in here and singing songs. It's your worship of how you treat people every day of the week. And there are some things in the roles of my life that I have. We all have some roles, responsibilities, okay? That come along with relationships or jobs or whatever it is. And there are some that we like and some that we don't. Some that we justify not doing because, I don't know, we grew up in some atmosphere, some whatever it is. Or we just naturally don't care for it. You and I cannot make up for the excuse not to do those things. That's part of our call and it's part of our role. And it's part of our place in this life. What we try to do is where we don't do those things, we try to do extra somewhere else that we would rather do and like, and then try to present that as a righteous, changed life before God. And in doing it, we deceive ourselves. And we will use those things on our resume to get in. And He's going to say, I don't know you. We have to work through some hindrances and some insecurities and whatever issues we have from our past. There's been a grace and mercy for those things. And off of it, we build a responsibility now to be the person that you and I should be before God and how to live in right relationship with people. And it will stretch you, and it will be challenging at moments, and it will be difficult at moments. But I tell you, if you do not fulfill those things, if I do not fulfill those things, and if I do not dispense a grace and mercy to those people, the same measure that I've shown to them will be shown to me. You see, that's the law that's at work. The law of grace and mercy. I want to make sure I don't miss something here. Let's just do this. Let's do this. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Read this to you. Read this to us. Now watch this. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, now the Sadducees were also religious leaders, and Pharisees were religious leaders, and scribes were, you know, religious leaders with God's law. And what happened was the Sadducees tried to trap Jesus and quiz him, and Jesus gave an answer, and the Sadducees didn't know what to say. So he just kind of silenced them, kind of like they've got no comeback. You ever done? They've been so annoyed, you're like, oh yeah, I... This is what happened. Okay, so the Pharisees heard that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, so they got together. And one of them, a lawyer, this is very important, a lawyer, he knows the law. He's a lawyer, attorney of God's law, a barrister. This attorney, lawyer, ask the question to test Jesus. He says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him in front of the crowd, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now listen to this. If we love him that way, we will fulfill the law. Because we know that obedience to God expresses a love for him. Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. So here's this grace and mercy that we just so desperately enjoy and we're just so grateful for, because it solves a whole lot of problems for us. And then we have this, and now what do we do from here? It launches us to, it's supposed to launch us into loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that is a challenge for all of us at every moment, day and night, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, disciplining every thought, letting nothing stray, with all my soul, with all my emotions, my will, and with all my strength, till I'm spent, right? To love God that way. He says, that's the number one law. And then Jesus continues, because this is the Old Testament and the New Testament. One God, one truth, consistent. The Old giving a foretelling of the New Testament, and the New Testament fulfilling the Old Testament. Two different testaments, but one God. And really one testament of the laws that you and I are to obey. And you and I will probably never take the time to look at the Old Testament and look up every law and to know every law and to do all of that. And Jesus says, listen, you're quizzing me, but I'm going to give you an answer. The most important law above all laws is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, the way we treat other people has to do with how much we love God. Because we know that it is important to God. It is important to him how we treat other people. And it shows whether we love God or not. And how we treat one another. Jesus said this, right? How you love one another is going to be a most powerful testimony to the world. Is how you love one another. I've watched it over many years. I get together with friends or men. We invite another guy into the get-together, and we go do something together because, you know, we're men. We like to have activities and hide behind a golf club or a fishing rod or whatever it is and do stuff where we don't have to, like, share all our feelings. We'll get to that later. But we invite this person in, and they're either a new believer or they're not really a believer. And I've watched this. It's countless times over the decades that I've been in young adult to adult in my life and doing stuff with men. That the Christian brothers and those we're around to build relationship with, it's like, hey, dude, good to see you. Grab hands. We kind of give a hug, slap on the back in a very manly fashion. If you don't know what that looks like, stand up, Joe. Hey, dude, good to see you. It's not this. Come here. Oh, Joe, you look so good. That's not it. I'm a little uncomfortable just doing that as an example. I need to finish this off right. Come here, dude. Feeling better. But we part ways. We can be in public. All right, we'll see you. And there's people around. Or is the newer guy in the group? And when I say newer, it's just, and when I say group, it's not an exclusive thing. It's just, there's a group of us getting together. And we won't reach out and bring somebody else in. And you know what? It's like, hey, dude. All right, love you. You see the other guy. Love you, man. Hey, yeah. Boom, boom. And the way we treat each other. I've watched men get drawn to this. There's something different about these guys. Not like, there's something different about these guys. Something different about these guys. They hassle each other like guys, which we know is actually compliments, right? That's man talk. Like, sit down, I'm tired of you. It doesn't literally mean sit down, I'm tired of you. Just picking on them, it's a compliment. Say, you're my buddy and I care about you. So we just use different words. Okay? You know. We can call each other jerks, but don't you call my friend a jerk. Right? Yeah. By the way, Gobes, that's a nice looking shirt you're wearing today. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think I know where that came from.
You had some good taste.
I had some good taste, didn't I? Yeah. Looks good on you. So, let's see, where was I? Oh, yeah. Men. We love each other. We do some of this man stuff when we say we love each other. We treat each other good. If somebody's hurting, we're there. If we're, you know, something's going on, we're going to. Hey, that is the love of God. Okay? Communicated in a way that sends a message to other men who say, I recognize the antics, but the way it comes across and the words they say, it's kind of something it's different, but I'm drawn to and I like and I need. And I've watched men work their way into the faith through relationships like that, through being a part of that kind of thing. And next thing you know, they're doing it. We'll even take some of these guys and really just kind of, you know, give them an induction. I mean, it's like this. Hey, come here. Don't get nervous here. Right? New guy. We're going to treat him like, hey, dude, good to see you. Come on here. Okay, I don't know. I'm messy. I did that on purpose. You can sit down. I'm not tired of you. Just here. It's the induction. We're going to treat you like you belong. You're one of us. Hey, dude, take care. Love you. It's like people around. They don't know what to say. They don't say it back. But eventually they do. It's true. I'm telling you. This command, listen, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and it's how you treat people, express that love to God. Because listen to what Jesus says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, which is the great and first commandment. That's it. And the second, the lawyer didn't ask for this, but Jesus has given him the bonus. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? We've seen Jesus answer that before. Let me just sum it up. Everybody. And then Jesus says, on these two commandments, two laws, two laws. These two commandments, you will sum up, and they depend on all the law and the prophets. All the Old Testament. Because all the Old Testament was this. Love God, and here are the laws to help you live together and love one another so that you look like my people. His grace and mercy to give to us for salvation and to wipe away a past and give us hope in a future and eternity, there's a responsibility that comes with it. There's a law that comes with it. That which we receive from him, we give to other people. And in doing so, it makes Dad, Abba Father, really happy. How many of you have more than one child? Love when they get along. Hate it when they don't. In fact, if they don't get along and it's in public, let's be honest, it's a little bit embarrassing to me because they are my children. They belong to me. And right now they're acting in a way that I do not recognize them. It's while I've walked away and left them alone in aisle five many times. No, I'm kidding. No, I showed them grace and mercy. Tried to teach them how to be responsible off of that grace and mercy. So that they look like Jesus. Not me. I'm flawed. So hear this, grace and mercy people. It comes with a commandment. It comes with a commandment and a principle that the grace and mercy that you use and that you show will be shown to you. It doesn't mean that we don't discipline or care for people in that manner. There's a responsibility with that. But you and I are not to run around and try to fix everybody. You hear this? We're to run around and show grace and mercy to them that helps show responsibility. The Father we'll do some disciplining. It's not that you and I don't look out for each other and discipline one another in some things. We have a call and responsibility to care. But you know what never went well in our house is when one of the siblings corrected the other sibling. You are not my mother! You are not my father! Oh, yeah? Well, you did this. Oh, yeah, and you did that. Yep. And now, I am going to show you, if I can get this undone. Come on out. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. I loved this sound. Because that's all it took. Because I never really wanted to use this. Because I know how a heavenly belt feels in the woodshed. Because there is a responsibility I have based on the grace and mercy he gave me. Yeah, so when you look at God's family, we can discipline one another. There's a point, and we help and encourage, but that never goes really well, does it? It's really great when the Father in heaven does it. Because we can't really point a finger at him and go, oh, yeah, well, you never did anything wrong. And you know me best, and you know what's best for me. I must have put a little weight on. These are not falling down. Just kind of, sorry, I shared with what I was noticing. The whole law and the prophets, the whole Old Testament, don't think it changed when it came to the New Testament. It's a consistency. It's all of God's word, all inspired. And it's this. Off this grace and mercy, we are supposed to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when we do, we will love people better because we know it's not a separate thing. It's connected to this loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, that fell off when I took my belt off. That's why I wasn't coming off very good. Why don't you tell me that, Nick? Anyhow. It's about now this responsibility to love other people and to give them grace and to give them mercy that will help bring responsibility into their life. That if we obey those two commandments, you will, according to Jesus, you will have fulfilled the law and the prophets. You will have fulfilled the Old Testament. You would have fulfilled the Old Testament law. This grace and mercy that you and I have needed, now if we obey these two commands, we will live and we will have fulfilled the law. And when that day comes, Jesus will say, I know you. The fruit, the works of faith are the fruit of a transformed life in righteousness. Where we fall short, Jesus has made the difference. But it doesn't mean I'm supposed to stay where I'm at. I'm supposed to narrow the gap, right? Don't keep sinning that grace has to abound. We narrow the gap of what we were and when we were saved and the difference between us then to what Jesus looks like. And on our time, we continue needing that grace and mercy, but it builds and we're supposed to transform and narrow the gap between what we used to look like and what Jesus looks like. You're saved by grace through faith that expresses itself in a transformed life. Let's stand up together. Well, they're slipping a little. Listen, I want you to bow your head, please, all over this room. Bow your head. I just want you to just close your eyes. I want you to listen. I came to faith in Christ when I was about 10 years old. I mean, it's significant. Many of you have heard the story. Significant transformation for a 10-year-old. Incredible experience. I'm 60 years old. That's 50 years. And I know some of you have been saved longer, and I know you want to shout it out right now, but what I'm saying is 50 years. And I still I still have some transformation to do. That's the point I'm making. I still have to exercise responsibility on top of that grace and mercy. I got to overcome my past. I got to overcome my hang-ups. Because those things don't make me look like Jesus. And I can't just call upon the compassion of Jesus and say, well, Jesus understands me, you know what I went through, so he's just going to let me stay this way. That is not the gospel. I'm sorry, that is not the gospel. Actually, I'm not sorry, but it's, you know, rough on our ears sometimes. That is not the gospel. I love God more than my pain. I love God enough to live differently and not have my tendencies run me. I'm going to transform, choose to transform, choose, regardless of what my soul feels at the time or my mind or what maybe some teaching out there tells me is okay. I'm going to choose to love him with that strength to overcome my issues and quit letting my issues run me. Oh, but I have grace and I have mercy. The grace and mercy is there to help us be responsible in overcoming. But I'm uncomfortable with this, or this brings back a bad memory. Well, I want to tell you something. Maybe you need to become acquainted with putting his word at the forefront that has more power than your past and your memories. Yeah, but when that comes up, it triggers something. I appreciate that. But you know what I've noticed as I continue to grow and change? Is when something happens, Scripture is now triggered. Instead of the feelings and the memory of the past, now a Scripture is triggered. Says, "Ah, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to live. This is what you need to do on top of that grace and mercy. This is it. And I'm still learning, but over time, I find that Scriptures and godly principles are getting triggered more than the past, and that comes by choice. He's made a way. We need his grace and mercy, but I have to be responsible to choose and believe in the laws and the principles that he has given.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.